This is Patricia Kelly Michaels, Dreams and Dolphins, September 10th, 1993.
Seattle, fall of 1993, series of The Creativity and Transformation. This is September 10. We'll be listening to Patricia Kelly Michaels speaking to us, Dreams and the Dolphins. For centuries, mystics and native peoples have experienced the interplay of the psyche in their dreams and the call of the dolphin. Today, people of Western world are experiencing the interplay by trusting the mystery of the dolphin encounter and valuing the message from their own dreams. The lecture will focus on how dolphins, both inner and outer, can enhance and illuminate our inner work. This can happen by swimming with them, having them appear in dreams, or looking into a dolphin's eye. A video accompanies this lecture. Unfortunately, we cannot do that through audio sound.
Start by reading excerpts from an article about dolphins so that we all have the same basic knowledge about them, because this will help later on in the talk if you know certain things about them. But I want to tell you how I got this article. Last March, when I was preparing to talk to the Friends of Jung, I wanted some dolphin facts, and I wanted some help. And I walked out to the mailbox, and help had arrived. And it was in the form of the Phi Beta Kappa oration delivered at Harvard. A woman that I had met a year earlier at a whale and dolphin conference had heard this talk on the radio, had sent for a copy, and had finally mailed it to me 8 months later. So it came exactly when I needed it. It was the perfect day. So this is called the Dolphin Oracle, and it'll just give us some information, primarily about the physiology about dolphins, real dolphins. The evolutionary gulf between humans and dolphins is immense. We both evolved from land mammals, but the primordial ancestors of the dolphins retreated back into the sea 50 million years ago. Homo sapiens emerged much more recently, not more than 250,000 years ago, following the earliest versions of mankind at 1 million and 3 million years ago. So thus, mankind has always had dolphins to admire. Through the ages, we have been intrigued by their intelligence and playfulness, awed by their power and grace in swimming and exuberant leaping. Aristotle recorded stories about gentle dolphins that befriended children and allowed them to ride on their backs. He told of other dolphins that leapt over ships. Ancient coins often depicted dolphins. They were considered to provide protection to travelers. In early Christian art, the dolphin is the symbol of love, diligence, salvation, graceful swiftness, and prudence. The notion that dolphins might have superhuman intelligence is also very old. That must be left to the fables, unless we can learn to communicate in a mutual language. But study of the extra-human qualities of dolphins or any other species enlarges our perspective on our own capabilities and limitations. Here I cite a few qualities pertinent to communication with dolphins. In relation to body size, the brain of a bottlenose dolphin is comparable to ours. Their cortex, the seat of intelligence and language, is more convoluted than ours and contains about 50% more cells than ours, but it is thinner and much different in shape. We do not know how to assess a brain subject to such a vastly different lifestyle. For instance, humans who try floating in salt solutions for long times find their brains go into trance and out-of-body states. Dolphins breathe air like other mammals, but since their respiration is voluntary, they cannot afford to fall asleep or pass out. If a dolphin becomes unconscious for any reason, others rush to buoy it up, or it drowns. How would our brain cope if we had to keep walking all the time? Dolphins do take rest periods in which they swim slowly in groups. It is now thought that during these periods, half of the brain sleeps, while the other half keeps things running until its turn to sleep. Students have also tried this technique. The eye of the dolphin is keen in both water and air by virtue of muscles around the eye, which change the lens shape when the dolphin goes airborne. Furthermore, their eyes can swivel to give them a rear view rather than just the usual forward and downward view. They can see some colors and adjust to a wide range of light and dark. In water, dolphins have acute hearing and produce a great variety of sounds at frequencies up to 10 times those audible to humans. These include clicking and rapid creaking sounds of an elaborate sonar or echolocation system, which enables the dolphin to gather precise information about the size, location, and nature of surrounding objects. Part of the system is the melon-like bulb on the head, which acts as acoustic lens. With its sonar sight, the dolphin even can examine the internal structure of a prospective fish dinner in the way we use ultrasound to take images of the fetus in the womb. Dolphins also emit long, frequency-modulated whistles, which can travel miles underwater. Each dolphin has a signature whistle with which it identifies itself. Thus, each dolphin has its own name, and the name is known by the other dolphins. So that's just the basic dolphin facts I wanted to give you, so that can fit better into the lecture. Tonight I'll be talking primarily about the relationship between psyche and nature as experienced between people and dolphins. And I want to touch on 7 different areas that this special relationship can set into motion. 1, healing power of nature. 2, enhancement of our ability to make changes and transform. Dolphin as messenger between the ego and unconscious, connecting us with different parts of our psychic process. 4, relatedness as a component of the feminine. 5, telepathy. 6, breath. 7, fluidity and unity of all life. To illustrate these 7 areas, I'm going to tell dolphin stories. My journey with the dolphins began 4 years ago. I'd sent for a list of unique and interesting trips to take from a travel agency. And as I was going through the list, swimming with the dolphins just jumped right out at me. And I suddenly remembered that I had always wanted to swim with dolphins. Since I now remembered, I must have first forgotten. So it made me wonder if nature has a way of connecting us with our true wants and creativity. But within ourselves, we have to be strong enough to follow. When I looked back at the times when I'd thought of swimming with dolphins, my inner knowing was too weak, and I couldn't stay connected with what I truly wanted to do. Conversely, when we do swim with dolphins, they help us forget mundane cares and worries and help us live more in the present moment. I found out that the workshop was called Interspecies Communication. It was put on through the Omega Institute in New York and held at Dolphins Plus in Key Largo, Florida. All the workshops were full, but I just knew I would be with the dolphins, and that's what happened. Doors opened, plane fares went down, and I was on my way. Dolphins Plus has semi-captive dolphins, and it's right on a channel that's next to the ocean, that flows into the ocean in Key Largo, and the dolphins are in enclosures. They have about 4 or 5 different enclosures, and a total of 12 dolphins. And the gates are opened so that the dolphins can swim into the channel and then into the ocean, but captive dolphins don't leave. They'd have to be rehabilitated to keep swimming. So they swim in the channel, they go out, they come back. The one thing at that time, anyway, that was unique to Dolphins Plus was that the dolphins were not fed to swim with people. They weren't rewarded. So they had full stomachs. So it was really totally up to the dolphins what happened to you and what happened to each individual in that experience with the dolphins. For our first swim, I was with two people and two dolphins. And you get into the enclosure, and then there's a little floating dock, and you stand on that, and then you get into the water. So the two other people I was with, they did that, and I was left standing on the floating dock by myself. And I had to finally admit that I was afraid of the water, but I hadn't wanted that to interfere with my swimming with dolphins, and I was now being confronted with it. So I couldn't get in for a while, and finally I kind of got in, and I was thrashing around, didn't have my gear on right, and a dolphin came and hit me in the stomach. And it happened so fast I didn't see the dolphin. But when it happened, I was so happy. I didn't realize it, but I had been afraid the dolphins would stay away from me because of my fear of the water. So I was elated that I got hit, and I put my mask and snorkel on and got everything right, and I stuck my head in the water for the first time, and right next to me was a dolphin just waiting for me, looking at me, going, "You ready yet? Come on, come on." This dolphin was, her name was Little Bit, and she would look at me, she would swim next to me, she would touch me occasionally. And she wanted me to trust the water in our time together. She was helping me with my fear. I felt like she was saying to me, "Come with me, try this, you can do it. I can see you, and I care about you." Every time I would try to get back to the little dock or get to the side of the enclosure, she would push me away. She really wanted me to learn what I was supposed to learn, which was I was okay in the water. It was a very moving experience for me to be with her. And the more I'm with dolphins, it seems to me that the dolphins give each of us what we need. And this certainly can be seen more easily in captive dolphins, because wild dolphins are busy living their life. But you can also see it with wild dolphins too. They have a uncanny way of giving people what they need. And I think this is the healing power of the dolphins. This giving people what they need was especially clear during one dolphin workshop that I attended. The dolphins consistently ignored one of the women in the group. Her name was Jane. And as the days passed, I learned more about her. Every time she would get with the dolphins, they would swim away. This was naturally very upsetting to her. Her life was that she was in her late 40s. She had a grown daughter, and her husband was an executive for a large corporation. She had lived a life as the dutiful daughter, wife, and mother. Her father had been living with them for the last 5 years. Since her mother had died. Her father had some kind of problem where he had to spend time in a wheelchair, but he could also shower, take care of himself, and could be very functional. But he wouldn't allow anyone to care for him except for his daughter and son-in-law. And he had let Jane come on this trip because her husband had taken off work to care for him. Jane felt it would be years before he let her travel again, and here the dolphins were ignoring her during her first outing in 5 years. So she was very upset. On our last day with the dolphins, she told me she had a dream that morning. Here's the dream. "I'm standing next to my father, who is in his wheelchair. A dolphin is by my side. I can feel its fin around my waist. I say loudly to my father, I'm going to be taking lots of trips from now on.' So after she had this dream, she was very happy, and we both assumed that she would have a good swim with the dolphins. But we were wrong. Once again, the dolphins swam away whenever she came. And I think this is the healing power of nature. The dolphins were avoiding her and in effect saying, do your inner work first and then perhaps we'll swim with you. The dolphins were healing her by helping her to stand up to her limiting inner father who was colluding with her limiting outer father. An internal tyrant who controlled her and kept her life sterile and narrow. The men in her life were not helpful to her. She was married to the idea that she must obey the father, as reflected in her husband's attitude. He also went along with whatever the father wanted. Her dream is telling her what to do. She must connect with her deeper self and then with the fin of instinct around her, break free and be guided toward journeys of her own. To illustrate my second point, which is our ability to change and transform, that is enhanced, I have two different experiences to talk about. These occurred about 5 or 6 years apart to two different men I was seeing in therapy. The first was Jeff. Jeff was an avid surfer and a student at UC San Diego, beginning his junior year when he first came to therapy. He was quite ambivalent about school. He couldn't decide whether to continue college or drop out. We used this as a metaphor in regard to his life direction and personal identity. For months and months, he struggled with all aspects of this issue, inner and outer. I admired his integrity and stamina in regard to his complexes and psychological work as he dealt with this huge life conflict. Then, one day, he came into session and said, "You'll never believe what happened to me. I'm staying in school. I have it on the best authority." Then he told me what happened. He'd been out surfing, and a dolphin had started surfing with him, which isn't uncommon. As they waited for a wave, the dolphin would look at him. He felt the dolphin could see his soul as he looked into the dolphin's eye. There's a quote that goes, "We look out from the eye of our wounds," and I think this is what some people feel when they are seen, truly seen, by a dolphin. The dolphin can see and know our wounds and be totally present in meeting us for who we are and where we are in our lives. After his experience with the dolphin in the morning, he had a dream that night, and here's his dream. "I walk into class and sit down. A dolphin is up at the blackboard. The dolphin has written, 'Stay in school.'" After having this experience, Jeff was finished agonizing about school. He was just finished. Something in his psyche had been shifted or moved, and he could now settle down and follow his own direction and identity. It made me realize that even the smallest shift in the psyche can create whole new realms, perspectives, and positions. If his father or an authority figure had appeared in the dream, he might not have been so receptive to the idea of staying in school. Instead, the dolphin functioned as a guide, giving him the direction he needed. In San Diego, after this lecture at Friends of Jung, a woman came up to me, and she told me that she had had a very similar experience. She said that she had only dreamed of dolphins once in her life, and that was the night she decided to go back to school after raising a family. So she was now in her early 40s. In her dream, she watched a pod of dolphins swim by. Perhaps nature was confirming the new direction her psyche had chosen. Another example of this enhancement of the ability to change and transform occurred to John, a 42-year-old self-employed graphic designer. I saw in therapy. He had a very, very successful business, but when the economy started its downward trend in the last couple years, his business began to drop off. He lost a number of important accounts, and his mild depression became more severe as his fear of losing everything increased. Then he had the following dream. I am in the ocean and can see land in the distance. I'm treading water and floating. Then I start slowly to sink. I go down ever so slowly, deeper and deeper, and I know I'm drowning, but it feels okay. As I continue to descend, a few dolphins come and swim around me in circles. The way they are swimming next to me causes the water to change flow, and now, instead of going down, I begin to go up. The dolphins keep swimming around me, and I keep going up and reach the surface. Now I can see the dolphins' fins above the water. When analyzing this dream, John had only two associations to dolphins. One was that he'd seen them at SeaWorld, and two, that he had thought dolphins rescued people. I ask, where are your dolphins? He didn't know, but said he could just feel them inside of himself, and he knew he'd be all right. We spent time talking about his early childhood and all his perspectives and complexes around money, safety, value, and fear. After having this dream, John began to change. His business continued to decrease, but he knew he would survive financially. His tremendous fear of loss was changed to a quiet sense of trust. He could even laugh at himself. He'd been wanting a less stressful life with more time for himself and his family. The dolphins helped him see that he got what he asked for, including a broader view of life and security. From these three examples and other dreams I've worked with, I wonder if our dream work is different when we dream of dolphins, because dolphins are so intelligent. When we dream of dolphins versus other animals, because dolphins are so intelligent, something like a greater mind combined with instinct that can provide answers. Answers that feel so right to the dreamer that a change and transformation can occur. The third area to be discussed is the dolphin as messenger between the ego and the unconscious, connecting us with different parts of our process. While attending a dolphin workshop, a woman had the following dream. I've been away from my office for a few days attending a workshop and swimming with dolphins. I check the mailbox and there's a small package wrapped in brown paper. It's a square box and addressed to me. I recognize the handwriting of a close woman friend. I go upstairs to the office. It's a mess. Papers scattered everywhere, dirty furniture, and dead plants. Every plant has fallen over in its pot, and some of the pots have cracked open. It's obvious that they haven't been watered in years. I'm surprised because I've only been away a few days. Then I look at the package I got from the mailbox. I hadn't noticed when I first looked, but right above my name is a small silver dolphin. This is my dream. I had it while I was at Dolphins Plus in Florida. And when I worked on it initially, I felt the message was that I needed to be more aware of watering and nurturing my professional life. But I ignored just how dead and dried up those plants really were. So, 3 months after having this dream, I made a big career decision to change course and follow the dolphins. I could only do so after first identifying my inner plants and containers. and acknowledging that the plants had been dead for a very long time, and to accept that I needed to throw them out along with their broken containers, and to also accept that an inner decision had already been made. It's just that my ego was the last to know. And so I was in that ego struggling place until I finally accepted what had already been decided for me. And so, bringing my previous experience and knowledge with me, along with the package and the silver dolphin, I have been following the feminine, the mystery, and the dolphins. In my professional life, is more reflective of my personal process. The coalescence of my work and personal process led me to see that what women and dolphins have most in common, and that is relatedness. Most of the people who take workshops to swim with dolphins are women, and I think that's because women and dolphins know what is central to their lives: relationship. Dolphins spend all their lives within their own community. They are constantly touching and caressing each other. Can you imagine what our world would be like if we were constantly touching everybody we came in contact with in our environment? Day in, day out. That's what the dolphins do. They also feed together, ride the bow of ships together, and even in the bay when they're resting, they're together. They rest in groups. It's rare to see a dolphin swimming alone, and even stranger yet, living alone. The community is their life. They are with each other, helping each other from birth to death. So it is with women and women's psychology. The Stone Center at Wellesley has produced research and writings that offer a new approach to women's growth and development. They have delineated what is pivotal in women's lives and have reframed the concept of human development. In the past, indications of health and maturity were such things as autonomy, mastery, and acquisition of power. Women were portrayed as too emotional, too dependent, or having a poor sense of boundaries. Now, as we begin to look more clearly at ourselves, we see that connection to others is a way of healing, and that growth comes from mutuality and relationship. And mutuality and relationship are forms of being, needing no explanation, categorizing, or labeling. From the dolphin and stone center position, individuation for women may be an individuation into being among and who we are in relation to each other. The feminine principle urges us to find and establish relationships, valuing inner integrity and ethics, where all can be more fully themselves, spirit and soul, wild and contained, among and separate. Jane, the woman who had the dream of the dolphin with the fin around her waist that I talked about earlier, she could easily be labeled too passive, too dependent. But from this relational perspective, we can see that to maintain the bond with her parents as a child, she had to become more and more accommodating and lost her authenticity. The fact that she had come to swim with dolphins seemed to indicate that her real self was alive and wanting to come forth. Her dream was trying to help her reconnect with her instincts because she had had to disconnect from them at an early age, so she could become more authentic with herself and with her relationships with others. So, let's see. I'd like to change direction just a little and talk about my experiences with the dolphins. After Dolphins Plus, I decided I really wanted to be with wild dolphins rather than captive or semi-captive dolphins. And I've been to Hawaii three times to swim with the spinner dolphins. And the first time I went, it was with Joan Ocean. And you'll see her video. She did this video over a 2-year period. The next time I did it was to do my workshop, Dreams and Dolphins. And last year, my husband and I went by ourselves to swim with dolphins. And we were the only people one day out in the bay with all the dolphins. It was great. He and I also kayaked with orcas in British Columbia. We worked through a company here, Northern Lights, here in Seattle. Had a great time. And next week at this time, I'll be in the Bahamas swimming with some Atlantic spotted dolphins. I'm going to check that out and see if I want to do a workshop there next year. So let me tell you about my workshop in Hawaii. I rented a house. On Kealakekua Bay, and this workshop that I'm going to talk with you about is similar to the one we'll do tomorrow. It's condensed, and it's minus. We don't have any outer dolphins, unfortunately, to swim with, but we have a lot of inner ones. And so the workshop is designed as an inner journey as well as an outer adventure. The challenge is to allow all of the experience to teach and guide us as we gather together with genuineness and high intent. The workshop includes connecting with our own individual dolphin guide, dream work, guided visualization, and ritual. It's also fun. Dolphins love to play, so we'll have a good time. The house I rented is right on the bay, so we could just walk out and get into the water. Kealakekua Bay is about 2 miles wide, so it involves a half an hour of snorkeling or swimming to reach the dolphins. So you have to really want to do this, have physical stamina and comfort in the water. My husband, Bernard Michaels, who is a union analyst, agreed to come with me and be my assistant during the swims. He was going to stay out in the boat, in the water, in a kayak, and make sure everyone was okay. On the plane over, he kept asking me, what are you going to do if the dolphins don't come? These are wild dolphins. And I would reply, I think they'll come. I think they'll be there the first morning. Later that day, as we were enjoying the Hawaiian sunset, he asked me again, his anxiety reaching new levels, do you have a backup plan? What are you going to do if the dolphins don't come? Finally, I decided to be honest with him and say something I believed, but that I hadn't said out loud. And it made me aware of how many things I kind of think and believe that I'm not really comfortable saying out loud. But I said, well, I think they'll come. I called them, and they said they'd be here. There was a long pause, and then he said, do they have a phone? The dolphins did come. The first morning, we had 12 dolphins. Then they skipped 2 days. The fourth day, we had 65 dolphins. And the fifth day, we had 50 dolphins. So we all had our peak experiences with the dolphins. And the 2 days that they skipped, you never know if this is synchronicity or not, but we were having a little trouble having our group cohesive. And the first day it was fine, but then we had some difficulty. And for those 2 days, the group wasn't as united. And those are the 2 days the dolphin did not show up. And then when we worked it out, then there they were. So, in current times, the first people to notice the telepathic abilities of dolphins were the dolphin trainers. And now many people who have been around dolphins experience some kind of telepathy. That going on. And people can do it with their inner dolphins too. Because dolphins do seem to communicate telepathically, if you believe and are receptive, they can function like the I Ching. Ask, or rather image, a question when you are with them, and then wait and see what happens, what thoughts you begin having, or just what comes up for you. Perhaps because of their sonar, dolphins are in a different reality and they can pull us in so we can see and know more than we usually do. And there are people who, I've never had this happen, but there are people who feel that occasionally they get zapped by the dolphin sonar and it kind of stuns them a little bit and they can't move in the way they were planning on moving. And there is a lot of evidence that dolphins do stun fish and different animals as prey when they want to eat them. So they might have that ability. And we can get pulled in. In February of 1992, I attended the third International Dolphin and Whale Conference, which was held in Kona, Hawaii. And that's where I met the woman who sent me the dolphin oracle. About 300 people attended. I wanted to collect more dreams, so I put up my Dreams and Dolphins flyer so people could see who I was and what I had done. And I asked them to sign up or call me if they were interested in talking about their dreams, if their dreams met my criteria. And I had two sets of criteria. The dreams had to be dreams that they had when they were around whales and dolphins. Be any dream, but they had to be around them. Or dreams that contained whale and dolphin imagery. I had such a large response, I didn't have enough time to interview everybody that signed up. I was disappointed. But I want to read just three of the dreams, as these three dreams have the theme of breath and breathing, which is the sixth area I want to cover. The first dream is a dream of a 30-year-old woman from Japan who worked for a translation company. I am with a dolphin who shows me a vision. I see a boy about 3 years of age who is beautiful and smart. He can play with stones at the bottom of the sea. He can breathe in the water and also come up for air. I know I am supposed to look at his face clearly. The second dream is a recurring dream of a 23-year-old teacher from Los Angeles. She said she's had this dream on and off for the last 5 years. I am swimming with wild dolphins and having fun, but I have to keep coming up for air. A dolphin tells me that I can breathe underwater. I try it and am surprised that it's so easy to do. The third dream is a dream of a 40-year-old woman who lives in Hawaii and who sees dolphins frequently. She had this dream about 3 years ago. It was really interesting how many people there wanted to tell me their dreams, and they knew exactly when they'd had it. Somebody could say, oh, I had this dream 10 years ago, but I've never forgotten it. So these dolphin dreams seem to be very important to people. She had this dream where she is in the ocean in very deep water. I know it's deep because the water is dark, not light blue and clear like water closer to the surface. I realize that I can breathe underwater, and I keep saying to myself, I can breathe underwater, I can breathe underwater. I don't want to interpret these dreams in regard to the psychology of the dreamers because I don't know much about these women personally. But I want to focus on breath and breathing. Breathing underwater is a way of negotiating in the unconscious, becoming comfortable in another environment. These dreams are examples of how dolphins can guide us. How do we breathe and go to the depths of our complexes, personal wounds, to the depths of our vulnerabilities and our betrayal experiences? The dreamers in these dreams are surprised they can breathe underwater, which is often the case. We can't know something until we do it, and sometimes we can do more than we think we can. And even though we cannot do the impossible physically and breathe underwater, we can do the impossible psychologically as our dolphin guides lead the way. It seems so interesting to me that in these dreams, the dolphins encourage the women to do something that even the dolphin can't do. But I think the message is, breath is all. Nature wants us to breathe deeply, in the water, in the air, wherever we are, to take it all in, to live fully. Breath is life. We are involuntary breathers. We don't have to think to breathe. I've begun to notice breath in my analytic sessions and to pay attention to how people breathe. Breath is often directly related to feelings, to to flight or fight, to calmness or alarm. When afraid, we hold our breath. Some people breathe deep in their stomachs, some through their nose or mouth, some loud, some soft. Sometimes we have to catch our breath or take in huge gulps of air. When we begin to control our breath voluntarily, as the dolphins do, we become more connected to our bodies and more alert. Another experience that swimming with dolphins creates is a wordless realm. You can't talk with your head underwater. Dolphins force us to be quiet, to be in our bodies, to think about our breath. As we do this, we can become very still within ourselves. We can enter a silent meditative state as we swim with them. In our Western world, language, power, and scientific thought are most important, but none of these count in the dolphin world. In the underwater world of the dolphin, we enter into the experience of the now. No language, just breath. No power, just breath. No proving things, just breath. And when we do this, we become consciously aware of the fluidity and unity of all life. Nature urges us to confront our fears of breathing underwater and to do it anyway. Then we know that no matter who we are or what's happening in our life, we are a participant in the flow, not an observer. Even when we are sitting on our couch, so depressed we can't move, we're still a participant in the fluidity of life. We begin to feel our own specialness and our own speckness in the universe as we flow in the ocean of life.
And that is the end of the tape. Copyright C.G. Jung Society, Seattle, and the speaker. All rights reserved. No copying, please.